The scripture this morning comes from Mark 6, 30 to 34 and 53 to 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to the deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him, rushed about that whole region, and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed.
Everyone maintaining a bright and cheery attitude in the midst of summer and heat? Yes? All right. Bright and cheery. Today, we have this passage from Mark. The challenge is we'll be spending this week and next week on the story of Jesus in Gospel of Mark and next week and then in John of the same series. Now, you'll notice in the reading there were some verses left out of this week's lectionary because they're focusing on the transforming healing power of Christ. But some of the things that they left out of the verses were things like the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. So when we wrestle with this text, I think we need to make sure that we've stepped back and see the broader story that we're engaging in our teaching today. So therefore, we will be looking at that transformative power, but also remembering this is in the midst of some unexpected and incredibly unusual encounters with Jesus. And in that spirit, I recall when I was a small child, there was a very popular television program on. And so I was looking through YouTube. How many of you out there do YouTube occasionally? See a handful? Yeah, that's right. Anything you want to know how to do, you go onto YouTube and it'll give you directions. But also on YouTube, you can find a lot of old television, classic television, these things. So I was scrolling through some of these, and then the theme song for one of these programs that I watched in my childhood burst through the speakers of my computer. And it's one of those theme songs that once you hear it early in the day, it keeps going around and around in your head, you know what I mean? So anyway, as I was looking at one of these old classic TV YouTubes, here came the song, "When you least expect it, you're elected. You're the star today," right? "Smile, you're on." Yeah, you got that, right? Now for the rest of the day, that's going to bubble around in your head. "Do unto others as you have been done unto." Amen. No, Candid Camera is so very popular. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, people would be in these extraordinary circumstances that had been set up by the makers of this program. And people then, unaware of what's going on, unaware that there was a camera on them, would be recorded as they responded to these incredibly extraordinary circumstances, often leading to very humorous encounters. Well, in this passage of the gospel, the disciples over and over again during this passage are confronted by these extraordinary appearances of Jesus in their lives. They are stunning. They are overwhelmed. And what's amazing is they've been traveling with Christ for months and months and months, and yet still are surprised when Jesus makes his appearance to them. They're in a boat. They've been rowing against the wind. They're tired. They're exhausted. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears as if walking on water. You'd almost love to have a camera on their reaction to that, right? And then on top of that, though, when he gets into the boat, they very quickly travel a great distance that would have overwhelmed them before. They had been going all night, getting almost nowhere. But Jesus gets in the boat, and then they are able to travel and go away at great speed. The bottom line is, and that's why we focused on the healing, and that's the bottom line for all of what's been going on in this passage from Mark. The bottom line is the healing, transforming power of Christ. And the other bottom line that is lifted up, when you have Christ in your boat, everything will be okay. So first of all, today, the ever-transforming and transformative Christ calls on our faith to recognize that presence in our lives. And whatever the surprising, unexpected shape Jesus may take, we are called to open our eyes that the unusual and unexpected presence of Christ is around us in our ordinary daily lives. But often in our blindness, we just do not stop to listen, to see, to be receptive to that transformative power. And also by living in this faith, and by living of that faith of open to the miraculous presence of God in your lives in ordinary ways, by doing that, it does not necessarily mean that you will live victoriously in the eyes of the world. In fact, when you live that way, sometimes the opposite is true. Most of all, what we take by this is that that transformative power is alive and well every day of our lives if we just have the eyes to see and the willingness to open up our lives and our beings to the presence of that power. A colleague of mine for many years, a pastor, but he's also a very fine musician. In fact, our music director, Rebecca, knows him and knows his work. He's written hymns over the past 30 years, done dozens of music workshops to help us improve in our music programs in our local churches. I believe he has several of his hymns. We'll be going into our new international hymnal. And he is uniquely, he's been about 25 years at the same church. It was my student parish, and after I got out of graduate school, he went there shortly thereafter, and he's been there for like 25 years, and the reason is he wanted to remain bivocational. He's this incredible musician that loves to write hymns and work within the church, but he also works in nightclubs, playing music in nightclubs, and he, after a full-time ministry in the local parish, he asked the bishop if he could go back bivocationally because he said he was missing half the people that God sent him to speak to. Amen? And he tells a story in this about a nightclub owner and the musicians that were on staff, and he was one of them in this nightclub in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And they were complaining about this piano. It was just in such terrible shape, this old piano. And the keys would often stick, and the sound was kind of hideous. And after months of listening to the complaining musicians, The nightclub owner finally decided to do something about it. You know what he did? He sent the piano out to be painted. You follow what I mean? And brought it back in and showed to the musicians and basically said, I hope you're satisfied, right? What's humorous about that to me, painted, what good would that do? Yet as Christians, we often settle for a paint job when what we need is a full tune-up. Can I get an amen? We seek a challenge rather than simple comfort at all times. We also want to be challenged. We seek that call of transformation and to be a part of that, even more so than affirmation. We look for a toolbox rather than a paintbrush. That's our call. Secondly, today, the ever-transforming and transformative Christ calls on our faith to recognize that if we do not have Jesus in our boat, then our human effort will not achieve our true goals. However we define that relationship with Christ, that has to be at the core of our being, where our human soul and the Spirit of God collide. And from that collision, our works, our ministries, our goals, our lives come forth from that relationship. And yet so often, we lose our focus, right? We lose the sense of our limitations. So often, we feel that somehow we're in control. Yeah, we need to do all we can do, right? All the good we can. But also, we realize there are limitations. We are not in control. Sometimes we become so anxious and spiritually upset when we feel responsible for or try to control our parents, our adult children, our situations, right? We need to know our limits and how to lean on Christ, or we will be so unhappy and unsettled. A favorite illustration I have on this point about human limitation. I may have told you before, but since you all remember every sermon I ever speak, I hazard to lift it up once more, I believe. I was doing graduate work at International College in Los Angeles. International College was located in Westwood. And when I went there after doing my undergraduate work back east, I couldn't afford to live in Westwood. The rents even then were too high. So I ended up getting a place in Hollywood. Now, if any of you have actually been down there, you know that that's not a great address. We used to call it along Hollywood Boulevard, the gutter. It was a rough neighborhood. And I lived just a couple apartment buildings right behind Grauman's Chinese Theater. And this, as I said, it was a difficult and troubled neighborhood. But the rents were cheap. And gas was cheap to commute. I was working part-time, and I would go in before dawn, right down from the Grauman's Chinese Theater. There was a place called, I think, Motorama. And what it was a car museum that had these vehicles from all the various movies, etc. So in this car museum, there was the Batmobile, the Batcycle, they had the Green Hornet, they had the Beverly Hillbillies truck, and all manner of other of these rare and vintage automobiles. So my job is, I went in before dawn, and I had the great skill set of dusting cars, running vacuums, getting things ready and clean before they opened at 9 a.m. What was great about that also is that I could work that shift and then still be able to attend school, and it wasn't a conflict. But I noticed, and it was right there, there was like where they had the kiosk where they sold the tickets, and that was kind of set under a little bit of a enclosure, so you were out of the weather. And I began to notice there was this fellow. He would arrive a little after me, but when it was still dark outside, and he would sit there by that kiosk in a full lotus position in deep meditation and prayer. And I observed this off and on for a couple of months. And then I noticed that right after dawn, he would get up and walk away. I was going to find out what was going on. So I watched carefully, and I sat there and waited. And after dawn happened, because I would try to speak to him, he wouldn't talk to me. After dawn, he got up, took a big breath, and I said, now, because he had ignored me before, but now he was moving, I said, "Excuse me, sir, if you don't mind me asking, what are you doing?" And he looked at me straight in the eyes. He says, "I am responsible for the sunrise." I just said, "Well, it looks like you're doing a good job." We find it humorous. But in sometimes, and perhaps not to that degree, of course, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. That we're somehow responsible for every choice a loved one makes or doesn't make. That somehow we are in control of people and circumstances that are beyond our controls. We need to know when to act, but also when to step back and let God be God in our lives. Last of all today, the ever-transforming and transformative Christ calls on us in our faith to recognize that our lives are not defined by fear and death alone. And I know that's a hard one for us. You look at the disciples who had traveled and walked beside Lord Jesus, and yet still were overcome with fear when the storm hit them at sea. Were still afraid for their lives after having spent this marvelous time with one who was in absolute communion with the Creator of the universe, all that is seen and unseen, and yet even in the presence of this infinite power, when nature happened, they still were fearful. They still thought fear and death controlled their lives. And Jesus walked into that darkness and into that storm and told them, "Do not be afraid. I am with you." Jesus did not tell them, "Do not be afraid because I'm going to calm every storm." In fact, what he does is calm us in the midst of the storm. Jesus did not say, "You will not have to deal with the forces of nature. You won't have to deal anymore with difficulties, with illness. You won't have to walk through death itself anymore." Jesus did not say that. What he did say is, in the midst of these struggles, in the midst of these troubles, in the midst of nature itself, "Be not afraid, for I am with you. I will never leave you." And Jesus will walk through it all with us. So I close today by saying that if we dare to live by faith, We will discover the presence of Jesus in unexpected and surprising ways most every day of our lives if we'll just look. Also, we need to know our limitations. And in our limitations, we need to also reclaim the knowledge and notion that if we have Jesus in our boat, we're going to make our destinations. And last of all, we are not isolated and alone, that the Spirit and power of Christ is with us every day. Thus ends the message. Thanks be to God. And now may the grace of our God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of our Master, Christ the Lord. And may the blessings of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you always.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day. And may God bless you.